the Gospel from Luke, chapter 12, verses 1 to 7. At that time, so many people were crowding together that they were trampling one another underfoot. Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, "Beware the leaven, that is the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the darkness will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but after that can do no more. I shall show you whom to fear. Be afraid of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast into Gehenna. Yes, I tell you, be afraid of that one. Are not five sparrows sold for two small coins? Yet not one of them has escaped the notice of God. Even the hairs of your head have all been counted. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." The Gospel of the Lord. As we observe the feast of St. Ignatius of Antioch, I need to hear again his great statement as he is on his way to martyrdom. It's almost scriptural in its power and beauty. "Let me be food for the wild beasts, for they are my way to God. I am God's wheat and shall be ground by their teeth so that I may become Christ's pure bread. Pray to Christ for me, that the animals will be the means of making me a sacrificial victim for God." I love to hear this each year because it suggests the wholeness and freedom that we Christians might aspire to. The Gospel for the feast is also very rich. Surprisingly, the mention of Gehenna opened up a strong memory and a theme for me. The Valley of Hinnom, south of Jerusalem, was originally the site where an idolatrous cult burned children as sacrificial victims. Later, it becomes the dumping ground where the refuse of the city is burned, where the flame is not extinguished and the worm dies not. By the time of Christ, it has become an eschatological reference for the condition of punishment for those who have been evil. The burning piles of rubbish remind me of the city dump when I was a little boy. This came to mind again as I went down to the waterfront here in Berkeley to have lunch with a friend at a nice restaurant over the water near the marina in a beautiful dog park reaching out into the bay. But I'll always remember this as a very small child going to the dumps and the burning piles of garbage and rubbish right in that very spot. It was early in the Second World War, and who knows what was dumped into the bay at that time. I remember a paint factory and an iron smelter right at the edge of the bay as the bridge starts over to San Francisco. When I was very small, when the tide was out and we drove along the shoreline, my brother and I would be overwhelmed by the smell, and we would cry out, "Mama, make the smell go away." It's wonderful now to see how the area has been cleaned up and become a really beautiful place of rest and recreation. And yet, I'm still not ready to go in the water. We still have a way to go. Honoring the earth and cherishing created beauty is a major part of my spiritual life. Yet, I find it very difficult to preach about ecological matters. Many people turn you off just as if you had brought political opinions into the pulpit. Although the situation is slowly changing. Recently, when I was living in Central Oregon, we discovered that the recycling agency was taking all of the glass we had so carefully separated for recycling and either crushed it for roadbeds or dumped it into landfills. There was a real slap about that. I find that many sisters groups have had some real concerns about environmental issues, and I really appreciate what they've done. Yet as I work at church institutions, I find that some people who are theologically well-informed haven't got a clue when it comes to the practical work that is needed to honor the environment. This brings me to the other theme that this feast suggests for me. There's nothing concealed that will not be revealed. This sort of honesty is more beautiful than any sort of judgment. Just let the truth stand in perfect expression, stand in its radiance, the radiance of the true, and you'll be healed. And this presupposes or predisposes us to another theme that will occupy the attention of all of us in the time of this synod of the family. Some people hope that something can be done about birth control, position of the church, and the return of divorced, married, remarried Catholics to the sacrament, the reception of the sacrament. I think that this is really good, but it's too small a challenge for the synod. I hope that Pope Francis has something really bigger in mind, and I'm looking for so much more. Some superficial difficulties may be set aside, but we need to be talking about the life of faith in the modern world. The pure courage of Ignatius, the urgent needs of the health of our world, the radiance of gospel truth, where all is expressed and nothing is hidden. This is the climate in which I would like to see the Synod participate and rise to the occasion and express for the world a dynamic invitation to the salvation which comes in Jesus Christ, not through power or caution or fear, but in the simplicity of loving mercy. Mercy is the most wonderful sort of truth. In the fullness of mercy, we learn to express a caring for all peoples and all the urgent conditions of our world, with much of the world experiencing dysfunction among government bodies and tribalism, to beltline politics, with the economics creating the super rich and the very poor, and showing very little sensitivity for the responsibilities and the use of the earth's resources and the possibilities of future for life. This becomes a wonderful time to let our full Christian concerns be expressed. We who would preach the gospel must reach for the full beauty of Christ's promises and cultivate a life of balance, holiness, and honesty that places the promise of salvation before a world that fluctuates between irrational suffering and violence, tribalism in its many, many forms, and the indifference and boredom of small satisfactions, never daring to hope that life could be something more. Stand in the radiance of truth. Our friend Ignatius is out of control. He has his vision set on the full beauty of God's call in his life. We need the courage and vision to journey with him. Today we would pray to come to life stimulated by the rich expression of the gospel and cherishing the story of heroes of our faith. May God bless you with such a vision, standing in the radiance and fullness of